Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
How many of you know that, you know, if church environment is new or you're watching online and you're like, I am so glad I am watching online, I can shut you off when it gets loud and crazy. You know, you got to come to be in the live experience. And you know what? We're passionate about Jesus. You know, when the God of the universe is living inside you, your body kind of like, ugh, like just think about the implications of that. Just think of it for a minute. How crazy is that? That God comes and he lives with us, but he also dwells in us when we put our faith and our trust in him. And I love the presence of God. I love God's enthusiasm. You know what enthusiasm literally means? It comes from two words. Entheos means filled with God. So when you're filled with God, enthusiasm is on your bod. I didn't even intend for that to rhyme, but it worked. That's why I do not do limericks. It's good. You know how many of you are passionate about Jesus? How many of you love Jesus? And I love this house. It's a passionate house, and you got to let it rub off on you. I made a decision. You know, my party days, I was the drunk girl dancing on top of the trucks in the middle of traffic. No word of a lie. And when I said yes to following Jesus, I made the decision that no bar, no alcohol, no substance, no other environment is going to get more of my enthusiasm than worshiping the God who made me. Some of you need to let that kick in, because you were the party crazy person in the bars and now you're stuffy and boring. Because you said yes to following Jesus, you're not going to be prim and proper. None of this is in my notes, just so you know. You can blame the first service because they set it up for a pretty awesome second service. May something, no hockey game, no sports arena, no pair of shoes, no toy, get more of my enthusiasm than the God who created this universe, who gives us breath in his lungs. Breath, our breath, his breath in our lungs. He gave it to you for a reason. Doesn't mean you be an idiot and be weird and turn people off, but being passionate for God and what who he is and what he's done. That's what we're about. So good. Sorry. I'm so glad. Get the fun Filipinos in the front row. Love the Filipinos. You know how to party. So good. We need that Filipino anointing in here. Yes, we do. I'm so serious. You guys know how to party, right? Yes? Jose, yes? Yeah, yes! This is like so far off track. It's okay. This is the second service. We can be here till 1 o'clock. That's all right. 3 o'clock. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, you know, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at how we can experience God's presence in the different seasons of life. And we're not talking about spring, summer, winter, fall. We're talking about the tough seasons, the painful seasons, the frustrating seasons, the anxiety-ridden seasons. I am beginning to hate that word because it's so flipping everywhere. Anxiety is on the rise. My anxiety. Like, don't ever own that. You tell me if people who know me know this, if you start claiming things, my this, my that, my that, I'm like, stop talking like that. You don't want to own anxiety. It is not yours. You were not made for anxiety. You were not made for depression. Don't own something that Jesus died on the cross for. But in these seasons that are tough, that are dark, that are challenging, that are frustrating, or you might feel stressed about, we can experience a reality that God is with us. And that's what we've been looking at over this season. It's the reality that God is with us. And you know what? The big thought over this whole series, it's a promise from God himself. It's actually a promise that God made to a king centuries ago when this king was in a very bad place. He was ruling a nation that had basically turned their backs on God and all hell was breaking loose. We think we have problems with certain types of government. You know what? I want to encourage you, stop beaking about the government and pray for our government. Can we pray for our rulers, whether you agree with their platform or not? See, this king was in a bad place and his nation was in a much worse place than what we are with certain governments. And God sent a prophet to this king and he said, Isaiah, I need you to go visit the king and I need you to tell him, listen, I got this. Stop freaking out. It's going to be all right. And God's giving the message to King Ahaz through prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah's like, King, listen, this is what God says. You don't have to worry about these issues because God's already going to take care of them. They're nothing compared to God's power. God's got this. You don't have to worry about it. In fact, God is going to let you do something he usually does not do. He wants you to ask him for a sign. And the king's like, oh, no, I couldn't do that. And God gets ticked, and he speaks to Isaiah, and he's like, okay, you're not going to ask for a sign? I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Guess what? A virgin's going to have a baby. And that promise came true about 600-700 years later when God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, came to be with us. And in Matthew 1:23, it says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. The Bible is great for bringing up the sex talk with your kids. I remember when my brother was 5 years old, it was one Christmas, we were singing the Christmas carols around yon virgin mother and child, and my mom was reading about the, you know, the virgin, probably this verse, a virgin will conceive. My 5-year-old brother's like, Mom, what's a virgin? She kind of bumped over that really quick. But if you want to bring up the talk with your kids, just read the Bible to them. Look, the virgin will conceive. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Not God will be with us. God is with us. That is his name now. God with us. Say it again. God with us. We are never alone. Now, this is not meant to be scary, God with us. God is not like Santa Claus, who sees you when you're sleeping. Oh, he knows when you're awake. And he especially knows when you've been bad or good, so you better be good, for goodness sake. Oh, you better not pout. You better not cry. Oh, I'm telling you why. God is going to come with a wrath and judge you. No. God with us. See, Emmanuel, God with us, is meant to bring us strength and courage and peace and hope. That is the God that's with us. And you know, last week we looked at God with us in the valleys, and this week we're looking at God with us in the wilderness. Oh, how many of you, your ears just perked up at that word wilderness? How many of you wilderness lovers are in the house or you're watching online? Any wilderness loving people? Tromping through the bush, hiking off the beaten path. Oh, you guys, there's a lot less of you in this service. Wilderness lovers, I grew up with a wilderness loving dad. Dad, if you're watching, my mom and dad say they watch me every week. So dad, this one's for you, tribute to you. My dad loved the wilderness. We were always tromping through the bush half the time. Now I'm realizing we got lost most of the time, but he never let on. In fact, one time it was in the winter and we were hiking and we're like, Dad, our feet are getting froze. I can't feel my toes anymore. And I found out later we were lost. But he's like, all the trails around here somewhere. But when I was 7, we moved from Farmville, Midwest, U.S., to the great wilderness town that wasn't on the map. It was called Fort McMurray. And some of you laugh, but in the 70s, Fort McMurray was not on any map. It wasn't on anybody's radar at all. But we were going on the adventure of a lifetime. We were going to the wilderness, and we spent lots of time in the bush, in the wilderness, in Fort McMurray. How many of you love the wilderness? I love it. It's so great. Well, we're not talking about that kind of wilderness today. We're not talking about the happy place wilderness. We're talking about the get me out of here wilderness. The wilderness that's the dry, barren, desolate, alone wilderness. You know, one of the common words that's associated with wilderness often is this, it's wandering in the wilderness. You're wandering. You're wandering because you're lost. You're wandering because you've lost your way. You're wandering because you feel disoriented. You feel stuck. You feel like nobody understands you, and you're wondering, when am I going to get out of here? That's the wilderness we're going to look at today and how God is with us. And you know what's so crazy about the wilderness stories in the Bible is most of the wilderness stories follow mountaintop experiences. High, and then boom! We are so pathetic. As Westerners, we think life should just be jumping from one mountaintop to the next. It's just all mountaintops. And like when we hit a mountain or valley or a wilderness, we're just like, oh, it's not there. My anxiety. I have no idea why I'm preaching like this here, but we'll keep going. You know, Jesus, he had a mountaintop experience, his baptism. Heaven's opened. God the Father speaks audibly, says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am really, really pleased. And the Spirit of God comes on him, man, that's so powerful. And then, boom, he led right into the wilderness. Now, before you second guess your baptism decision today, stay with me till the end because it gets good. It really does. And if you came here and you aren't baptized, you can get baptized at the end of the service. We got all the stuff you need. We got extra clothes. We got blow dryer. We got all the stuff for your hair and everything else to make you look presentable if you're kind of insecure about that. If you're watching online, you're not baptized, you can get your butt here. You probably got about 20 minutes to get here to get baptized. You can get here. You can get baptized at the end of the service. But Jesus, mountaintop. And then wilderness. The guy we're looking at today is his name is Elijah. Anybody hear of Elijah before? Maybe you heard about him at Sunday school or Bible camp or, you know, VBS or whatever. Maybe you grew up in church. Elijah is like one of the superheroes of the Bible. And he went from showdown on the mountain to lowdown in the wilderness. And what happened was this. The nation of Israel that he lived in had wandered very far from God. They were worshiping idols. Some of them were kind of still on God's side. Some of them were just kind of like, we want to do whatever we want. And God had had enough. And so he was like, Elijah, you need to step in and you need to bring them a message before it gets so bad there is no coming back. And so Elijah called all of the evil prophets of Baal and Asherah to the top of Mount Carmel. And he said, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have a showdown. And the God that answers by fire, he is going to be the real God. And that's who we are going to worship as a nation. Got it? And so he said, you go ahead, Asherah and Baal guys, you can make the altar first and you see if Baal's gonna answer. You see what he's doing. And so they made their altar and they started dancing and calling down God and they were cutting themselves and they were like, oh Baal, oh Baal. And Elijah starts mocking him because nothing was moving. He's like, call louder, pray harder. He might be sleeping. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. Nothing happened. And Elijah's like, it's my turn. All right, bring me gallons and gallons and gallons of water. And I want you to douse. I want you to bring, until I say stop, gallon after gallon after gallon of water. And I want you to douse this altar with water. How many of you know water isn't a good way to start a fire? True? But it's a great way if you're the God of the universe and all creation. And Elijah prayed. He said, God, I know you're real. And I know you're going to show yourself. And boom, fireballs from heaven. It's like, whoop, so much. It consumed the whole altar and the water. Poof, ashes. And then Elijah freaks out. He's like, kill all the prophets of Baal. Massacre them. The wicked queen Jezebel finds out. And she's like, I'm going to kill you. Elijah runs for his life. Here he was, superhero Elijah, top of the mountain, running from his life from an ugly queen. And he finds himself in the wilderness, and this is what he says. He came to a lone broom bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all, to just die. Have you ever felt like Elijah? Enough of this, God, just take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. And exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. It's crazy, superhero. He fought, he's seen God like fireballs. He just went like, fought this battle against evil and won. And then you know what else it said about Elijah? Elijah beat a chariot on foot, running 17 to 30 miles in a brutal wind and rainstorm. After the showdown on the mountain, it said he picked up his robe, he tucked it in his belt so he had pants, and he could run, and he outran the chariot for anywhere from minimum 17 up to 30 miles to the city of Jezreel. That's crazy. I mean, if you want to run a chariot, no. And this isn't kind of like the push the baby chariots. We're talking chariot and horses. And now he's in the wilderness. I've had enough, God, just take me now. And maybe, you know what, maybe you can really relate to Elijah. Maybe you are there, maybe you have been there. I've had enough. Can't take anymore. I've given all I've got in this relationship, in this marriage. I have nothing more to give. I'm done. Some of you may be in your parenting. You're just like, I don't know, what are we gonna do with our, we can't get through our teenager. Like, we've done everything we know how to do. Or maybe it's with your job, with your boss, or your finances. You are exhausted. You are overwhelmed. It's just like, I can't get out from under this. Maybe it's very real loss and grief where you're just like, I just want to go to sleep and not wake up. You can relate to Elijah. I just want to go and not wake up. I want to give you a couple things to do, because here's the first thing you need to do when you find yourself in the wilderness. I want you to consider this. Everyone say, I can consider. You can consider. I want you to consider this in the wilderness. You need to ask yourself, here's the first question you need to ask yourself. Are you misdiagnosing your challenge? Are you misdiagnosing your challenge? See, sometimes we spiritualize things way too much. We think things would be better if I prayed more, if I had more faith, if I fasted, if I knew more Bible verses. To shout and yell at the devil because somebody told me that's what you're supposed to do when life is bad. I need to yell at the devil because it's all his fault. No, it's not. Sometimes we spiritualize things when really what we need is proper rest and a better diet. This is the first action that God did to help Elijah in the wilderness. Look at this. 1 Kings 19:5-6. Then he, Elijah, lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones. I love some versions. They say there was a cake and water. So eat cake when you're in the wilderness. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread and bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Twice God did this to Elijah. And you know what? I know this whole thing from personal experience about the importance of proper care and a right diet for your body. About 10 years ago, I went through a health journey where it was very much a wilderness internally in my head for a long period of time. So as a pastor, when you go through that, what do? Well, you got to fast and pray some more. You're not praying enough. You got to fast some more. You got to do this, this, and this, and all these other spiritual things, except nothing was working. And finally, I had a conversation with my doctor, and he's like, I think I might be able to help you. He's a wonderful doctor. He's a no-drug doctor because he likes to get to the bottom of things and not just put a Band-Aid on a symptom. And he said, this is what you need to, and I have always eaten very healthy and taken care of myself, except there were some things that I was doing that still wasn't contributing to good health in my body. He said, you need to get this, this, and this in your system, and you need to get this, this, and this out, and you need to stop doing this, and you need to start doing this. And when I put those very practical things into action, within 2 months, my circumstances had completely changed in my head. So I know what it's like to be in a dark place, to be in a wilderness, to feel like I am just done. Sometimes the answer isn't a spiritual answer. And see, your perspective on life is greatly influenced by what you put in your body and how you do or do not take care of it physically. See, you can pray all you want. You can go to counseling for months or years. But if your diet is still a heavy diet of sugar and processed foods and lots of starches, and you're staying up most nights till 2 a.m. playing video games or binging on Netflix, life will feel like a wilderness until you properly take care of your body. Everyone say, I need to take care of my body. I need to take care of my body. You don't. Some of you, your answer to up here is eliminating sugar out of your diet. I mean that with the greatest of sincerity. But there's also a flip side. Everyone say number two. Here's the second thing. You might need more than physical rest because you're spiritually depleted. You need an encounter with God. You need an encounter with God's very real, intimate presence, His goodness, His faithfulness, His love. That's what you need. You need His kindness restoring your soul. That's why we have encounter night on Thursday night. Man, that's a great time to come. You are going to meet God in a powerful way. You need a fresh encounter with God. You know, that's why we do this every month. It's because life has a way of just kind of sucking the good stuff out of you, doesn't it? It has a way of reorienting us around a contradictory reality, when the real reality is that because of Jesus Christ and His life and His death on the cross and His resurrection, there is a counter, there is another reality that is the real reality on this planet. And it's a reality of hope in the middle of wilderness. It's a reality of light in the middle of darkness. That's why Jesus is the light of the world. And we need a fresh encounter with God. That's why every month we gather here and there is something powerful that God does. And He revitalizes your soul. He revives your soul. Because you know what real church is? Real church is gathering together. We inhale, but then we exhale out there in our world. That's what we do. Anybody that's just, what do we call that? Choking. If all we do is just, we're just a church here on Sunday, but then we're a different person out there, that's just like living. We're just inhaling. But if you're just always exhaling, what is that? It's a cat coughing up a hairball. It's bad. If you're always out there and you're never in the gathering, the inhale, you are going to be weak and ineffective out there at your job, at school, in your relationships, on the soccer field, on the arena, everything. You need inhale. We do this together. We need exhale. We're the church out there. That does not fit in here at all. Where am I at? Encounter night. This is what happens to Elijah. He's on the run, deeper into the wilderness. He finds himself in a cave. And God comes and He speaks to Elijah and He says, hey, Elijah, what you doing here, buddy? Huh? And Elijah has a pity party. He just freaks out. He's like, well, let me tell you, God, because you don't seem to know what's going on. I have been so passionate for you. I'm the only one that's been seeking you. Nobody else. I've been working my heart out for you, God. Everyone else has abandoned you. The country's in a mess. I'm the only good guy left, and all the bad guys are trying to kill me. What do you say to that, huh? And God's like, shame on you, Elijah. The judgment is coming on you for contradicting my Jesus and not trusting me. Now, God did not rebuke Elijah. God did not shame him. God did not even correct him. God met Elijah at the place he wasn't supposed to be. And some of you need to hear that because you're like, I know I am so far from God because of this, this, and this. Some of you are at home watching, and we're so glad you're watching, but you're scared. Because you're scared to come in the church, because you're scared God's gonna like wham you with one of those lightning bolts. That is so not true. God meets Elijah at the point of his deepest need, and he ministers to him. You know what? That's what I love about the story. God just keeps pursuing Elijah. God's presence was chasing down Elijah, just like God's presence is chasing you down. This is what happened. God speaks to Elijah, and he says, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. You know, can't help but wonder if Elijah's standing there and he feels the rumble. Everything's starting to shake, and the whole mountain is shaking, and it's getting loud. And then there's this wind, and he's like, oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about, God. We need your earth shaking, fireball and presence to come down even more than what you did on Carmel, and I need that power to make my situation right. He didn't get that. God wasn't in any of that. God was in the small, quiet whisper. Why do you think that was? I think there are two reasons. I think the first reason was that God wanted Elijah to see and understand that it wasn't God's power alone that Elijah needed. Elijah needed God's presence, his person, to settle him and to reorient his thinking in the middle of his wilderness and in the middle of the stuff that wasn't great. And see, that's what we need. God was like, you want me to do something, Elijah? Okay, yeah, I can do something. Boom. Earthquake. Whirlwind. Fire. But I'm not in any of that. I can do it. That's easy. But what I want you to know is I want you to know I'm with you. I want you to know my presence. I want you to know my person. See, why is it that when life gets so difficult, God seems to get so quiet and silent? Have you ever wondered that? Why doesn't God show up in loud, booming, miraculous ways? Why doesn't he do the supernatural? Why doesn't he do the big stuff when we need him most? You know why he whispers? He whispers because he's close. In fact, I'd like to submit for you to consider, if God's got to do the big booming to get our attention, maybe we're farther away from God than what we thought. God whispers because he's close. And see, what God was revealing to Elijah was this: Elijah, there is more to me than what I can do. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know me as the great I am. I am the wonder-working God. I am the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. I will never leave you. I have always been with you. I love you more than you can imagine. I am with you in the mountaintops. I am with you in the valleys. I am with you in the wilderness. I'll be with you in the storms and the dark. I am always with you. Everyone say, God with me. See, when we get into God's presence, our perspective changes, because God's perspective on our circumstance is the only right perspective. Isn't this true? Think about it. It is not great intelligence to think that me or you, who has trouble remembering where we put our phone or our keys, actually has a better perspective than the God who created the universe. No. Like, it's not, you don't even have to be intelligent for that. That's kind of like common sense, duh. But see, when we see from God's, we can only see from God's perspective if we're at where he's at. That means we're with him in his presence. Our deepest need can become a gift when it drives us to depend upon God. And see, we get to know God in a powerful way on the mountaintops, and God wants to reveal his power to you. But you get to know him intimately in the valleys, in the wilderness, Jesus. That's where you get his whisper. That's where you get his whisper, his gentle voice, bringing peace to your soul, bringing calm in the midst of the storm. I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray. Everyone, close your eyes, and I want to pray for those who say, you know what, I can relate to this. I feel like it's been a wilderness. I feel like it's valleys dark. Just, if anything's like, blech, like just lift up your hand, and you're like, I need you, God. I need you, God, in this. I want to pray because I really believe God is gonna do something significant in your life today, and I believe that if you will believe him, God is going to touch your life in a powerful way even before this day is over. And God, I come into agreement right now with every hand raised as an extension, even those that are desperate, saying, I don't know if I deserve God to be with me because of this, 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 and this. You know what? God met Elijah even where he wasn't supposed to be. And God, I thank you right now. Father, I, in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, the one who's created brand new creation, the reality where he is the ruling king, where anxiety and fear and the stress that goes with the tough and challenging seasons, where darkness doesn't have to rule, where unrest and even just the chaos in our soul does not have to rule. Jesus, we declare you're the Prince of Peace in every situation. We declare your strength, the grace of God over every life. God, awakening up to the still small voice, your presence with us in the middle of those dark and challenging seasons. God, we thank you for that reality today. And some of you were like, please let this be over quick. But you know what? There is something about God you are going to discover in this season that you need for the next high mountain season. And if you don't go and allow God to walk with you through the extent of this wilderness time, you can have joy in the middle of the wilderness. But if you try to exit out of it too quick, you're going to miss a very necessary something for the promotion that God has coming for you. It is closer than what you think. I don't know who that's for, but you just need to, whoever's first taken, sit on. Let it settle on your soul. God, thank you. You can put your hands down. And one more prayer to pray. If you're watching online, I want to pray all of us together. It's a prayer saying, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you in living in this new creation reality, this place where I can have peace in the middle of storm, where I can know you're with me, where I don't ever have to feel alone, where I can have light even though it feels dark. I can know joy even though there's a lot of things that aren't great. Following Jesus is how we experience that life of new creation now. And I want this prayer, we're going to pray together, and you're like, well, how do I follow Jesus? Well, these are words of how you express your trust in Jesus. Here's some. Let's pray this together. Just say, Jesus, thank you for everything that you've accomplished through your life, your death on the cross, and your resurrection from the dead. Thank you that you've started new creation reality. I say yes to following you and living in this new reality as a true human being on mission with you. Thank you. Amen. Come on, let's give God thanks. Can we do that? God, we are so thankful. God, we give you praise. We thank you. And we thank you for a new thing that you're starting. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.